What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
B&E on the Horn. It is a busy Monday with a lot to recap from a busy weekend. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Also, the college football conversation has hit a fever pitch at this point with the word that the Big Ten is considering canceling the college football season for their conference and for all fall sports in that conference, which could lead to a domino effect, which puts in jeopardy the entire college football season at this point. We'll continue that conversation to get you the very, very latest, which, of course, Buck, we know then turns into a political debate that the red states want to play football, the blue states don't, and it's political, and it's all about the election, and this is about election year politics more than health and safety of student-athletes, which, you know, we don't do politics much on this show. It's more about sports, but this obviously is falling into the sports purview, so that will also be a conversation. But at the end, it's going to be school presidents making these calls across the country.
Yeah, and hopefully everybody can get, we can all get together no matter what, because we have to try to put an end to what's going on, because no one's to say that it still won't be around in the spring. We continue to move up deadlines, and you know, you could see that coming with college football. You could see it coming with high school sports and everything else. We kept moving the goal line. And the more you move the goal line, the more in doubt things become, I believe. That's just the way it is. And, you know, I went back in March. I said, well, sports as we see it, it probably not going to happen until 2021. And it's now that we've pushed football around. We've pushed a lot of things around. I know how badly people really, really feel, because they're really – a lot of athletes out there that this year was going to mean something. Just like in the spring, it meant something to them. But now you're going into your senior year in the sports of football, volleyball, basketball, and things like that that really are going to determine a lot of financial deals for a lot of family. It really is. It's tough. And there are a lot of kids that already have scholarships where they want to go to school. But there are a lot of kids on that borderline where they don't get chosen until their senior year. In a lot of sports like soccer, like volleyball. This year was going to be big for a lot of volleyball players and their families.
No, I mean it's
but safety is important, and
I mean it's a big conversation. And you know, look, the NFL is scheduled to open 30 days from today. I mean, the Chiefs and Texans on Thursday night at Arrowhead Stadium is September the 10th. So today's August the 10th, and the NFL is plowing forward. But you and I have been clear to say that you have to separate pro football from college athletics. You just do.
Or pro sports altogether. Yes.
I mean, professional athletics that have a union and have, you know, protocols in place and collectively bargained.
Lots of money.
And these are student athletes. And, that's going to be the number one decision of school presidents, right? It's not even whatever the athletic director or the head football coach thinks, because this whole idea of the hashtag we want to play is now, you know, trending on mm-hmm. all the social medias, because players want to play. Coaches want to coach. But this will not be a decision made by those people. The decision will be made by the presidents of the universities and the board of regents of these major universities, taking into everything into consideration. I think that's a fair debate about, you know, is it political? Is this a political situation? Or are they actually, like they say, they are listening to the medical advisory, and that's what the MAC conference said was their decision, was they had the briefing from their medical advisory team.
I don't think universities want to spend half their time worried about, man, we got so much litigation against us because of this virus, and we brought these people back on our campus, and all of a sudden we're in court for half a year. And by the way, we're going to get sued for more than what we thought we were going to make in football. They can take our whole university away, not just our athletic programs. But remember what universities were supposed to be about,
right?
Higher learning.
Higher education. That's the mission.
The mission statements of universities?
Right. And over time, we've had fun with the student athletes and the big business of college athletics, and it's changed, right? It's become a big business while trying to stay under the umbrella of amateurism. And we've talked about what a you know, how hypocritical that is. But and now, as you said earlier, the rubber's meeting the road on this.
Yes.
That these aren't professional athletes that have a union and an association that protects them.
They're, even though they want to be
In
certain
this.
Sports, yes.
Well, that's being taken into consideration by these presidents, too, because the We Want to Play movement that from among the players comes with a lot of strings attached. We'll play, but we want a seat at the table. We want to understand what these protocols are. We want to have a players' association that has a voice in this, which I don't think the presidents of these universities are ready to give that up. And so it's not just health and safety, because I don't think do I think politics is playing some into it? I don't know. You guys can have that debate. But I think when the school presidents sit and hear from their medical advisory team, who they are paying to advise them, right? We've hired this group of medical experts to advise us. They're telling us it's not safe, in their opinion, right? And that's at least what they said in the MAC, and that's what the Big Ten, that's what led to this emergency meeting yesterday, that the Big Ten is headed in the same direction because their medical advisory team is saying, no, it's not safe for contact sports in the fall.
You thought you had time. We thought we had time from March until now.
So if you're a school president and your medical advisory team is telling you we don't believe it's safe, and then you have players who are saying we'll play but we want to unionize.
That's a lot in a short period of time to get to swallow
athletic,
all that. That's
and
hard.
Then you're talking to your athletic director and he's saying, yeah, we can play, but if we play without fans, it's going to crush our budget.
Yeah, you're going to hear a different – you don't think you're going to hear a different tune from Chris Del Conte now? I guarantee you his tune is going to change.
Well,
he won't be talking about 50,000 or 25,000.
Yeah, there's that political fight happening too over, you know, 50,000, 25,000 or none. And that's where I'm saying the athletic department's looking at saying, well, even if we play, we're going to take a bath on our budget because we can't have fans in the stands for our home games and all the other costs that come with the testing and everything that's going into this season.
But, dude, the world of litigation is a B.I.
Right. Well, and that's
what
I'm saying. Like, if you're the president and you're being told by your medical advisory team that it's not safe and then you go ahead and play anyhow, that you're opening yourself up to huge liability at that point. Hey, because, I mean, you're not a lawyer, I'm not a lawyer, but you can make that case pretty easy. Hey, your doctor said not to do this.
Oh, and you did it anyway?
Oh, and you did it anyhow, and my kid got sick and died, or my kid got sick and has long-term health issues, because, you know, that whether you agree with that or not, but that's the direction it would head, right?
And like I said, there are so many things that happen in the world of sports that happen on a yearly basis, or in the spring, or in the fall. Kids get you know, they have heart problems. They die all over the country. But you only need two or three in this case, and it's going out the roof. I mean, it's over. Well, and I got to believe colleges didn't want to start football and then stop football too. I mean, when the conferences got together yesterday and last night and said whatever they're saying, and this is they don't want to start and then say 3 weeks later. That's why all these different things. Well, we'll play this game in September. We'll see what happens on our campus. They don't want to start and stop.
Yeah. Well, and again, all the reasons we just mentioned. And this is not a coach's decision, an athletic director's decision. This isn't even the conference commissioner's decision. This is the school president's decision, and it goes to the top in these cases in all these conferences. And we'll see, because there's a thought that there could become a fight if the Big Ten bails. Does the SEC and the Big 12 say, no, we're playing?
That'll be interesting.
Yeah,
then.
Hugely interesting. No, you know, because there are people that believe that just because the Big Ten's not going to play, they're just going to play conference games anyhow. They've already canceled any game that's outside of their conference. We're moving forward, and we're playing. But to, as we said, from one source in the athletic.com story, you know, then those two conferences would have to explain why they think it's safe and no one else does, right? That would be, well, and that then opens those conferences up to even further conversation. But it's a big conversation for sure. Let's get to the headlines. We'll start with that college football news. If you're just tuning in, get some perspective on what's happening, plus the other stories of the morning. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the headlines. And yeah, we will get to the breaking news in college football as we're discussing. The commissioners of the Power Five conferences held an emergency meeting yesterday and last evening, and now there's growing concern among college athletic officials that the upcoming football season and other fall sports may not be played because of the coronavirus pandemic. It started on Saturday when the Mid-American Conference became the first football bowl subdivision conference to cancel all fall sports, including football. That came on the strength of a unanimous vote by the school's presidents after they were consulted by the league's medical advisory team. And according to reports in theathletic.com and ESPN.com this morning, the Big Ten is now on the verge of following the MAC's lead, pushing their football season into the spring, which would make it the first Power 5 league to do so, which could begin the domino effect that we are discussing. In golf, first major championship in more than a year. What a finish. Colin Morikawa fired a final round 64 yesterday in prime time to emerge from a crowded leaderboard to win the PGA Championship and claim his first major title. The 23-year-old, by the way, it's only his second major competed in, but he wins it, entered the day two shots back at Dustin Johnson, pulled even with six others at 10 under at the 10th hole, and then he pulled away with a brilliant chip-in birdie on 14, followed by an eagle on the drivable par 4. Number 16 to get to 13 under, and that's where he would win. And how about this? Morikawa's weekend rounds of 65 and 64 marked the lowest closing 36-hole scores in PGA Championship history and major championship golf history. What a weekend. NBA bubble action. DeMar DeRozan scored 27 last night. Spurs beat New Orleans 122-113. The win keeps San Antonio alive for that playoff berth, trying to make it for the 23rd straight year. They move past idle Phoenix into 10th place in the West, a half game behind Portland for the 9th spot. That comes with a berth in that play-in series that's coming up this weekend. Houston Rockets cruise past Sacramento 129-112. Austin Rivers scored a career-high 41 off of the Houston bench. And Major League Baseball, Rangers got a big win, big series this weekend. Sweep the Angels. Win it yesterday 7-3. Lance Lynn got the victory. Astros, we know, got swept by Oakland 7-2. A's have won 9 in a row.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Get up to 20% off all Toro and Hustler mowers and Husqvarna chainsaws, weed eaters, and blowers in stock for the month of August.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
You know, you can continue, you know, and talk about it as time is going on, but we've been pretty consistent since March about whether there would be athletic, you know, athletic sports in the fall. So we don't have anything to do with it. We're not fear mongers. We're just people just like you. I don't know any more than you that you read about, but it's right there for all of us. And because you want your sports doesn't make everybody fear mongers. People are going to be worried about things in a lot of different ways. So your thoughts are just like our thoughts. So we're not throwing anything out there that's fearful. We're just trying to decipher what's going on out there just like you are. So I understand people how they feel about it, how they feel about their sports. But truly, there's a lot of hard decisions to be made. There just is. This was going to be, ever since March came around, really a tough thing to do. Is to have sports out there. Hell, just starting school is tough. People losing their jobs all over the place is tough. So it's not about fear mongering. I already said, if you open up the stadium and I was somebody that went to games, which I don't go to games anyway, if it's outdoors, I'm cool. I would have gone. I'd have gone to it. I'm not that kind of fearful anymore. So it's not fear mongering. I go to places all the time now. I wear my mask. I do what I have to. But I haven't stopped my life anymore like I did originally. I'm thinking that people are doing all the right things as much as they can do. There are people that aren't doing the right things. Those people, I hope I can avoid them, but I can't because they're out there in public too. But I'm not trying to be fear mongers about what we say. It just is what it is about football.
Well, I mean, guy on the text line says that I'm a fear monger.
But, but there are a lot of people that say
fine.
That.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I get it. I mean, they're going to be in their camp. And I'm just reporting and trying to put myself in the shoes of these school presidents, and these are the decisions they're having to make and why they're having to make them.
Sure.
You can disagree with it, and you can say it's political and it's all about the election year, and that's fine.
Some of this is will be about your kids. And if one of your kids get real sick, you're going to be – it's your story will be different. That's the way it is. That's what happens. It just happened that way.
I think if you're – but I don't even know what the word is. If you think school presidents are making the decision based on the presidential election, I think you're making it way too political. They're talking to their legal experts, their medical experts. They're running a university, a major university, and they're trying to make decisions that are in the best interest of the student athletes and the students, I believe. So if you're being told by your medical advisory team that it's not safe, what do you say to that? And you're being told by your lawyers, this is trouble. This is big trouble. If the medical experts are telling you no and you do it anyhow, that's liability. And so if you don't think that's playing into these decisions and whatever the football coach wants to do or says he wants to do or the athletic director, that doesn't matter. That's not their call. It's not their call. It is the school president and the Board of Regents' decision.
Let me ask you a question. if this doesn't happen, if the sport, if football doesn't happen, the coaches get paid for a year? Do your salaries get paid?
No, I mean, if they don't play, I mean, that will be a new...
Another challenge?
Yeah.
I signed a contract with you.
But yeah, I mean, you know, if you're not coaching, you're not playing, and you're not going to get paid.
Oh, you're still working.
Or you have to take a pay cut or furlough or whatever they call it.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that, but yes, that comes with a whole new kettle of fish. Now, again, in the story on ESPN.com this morning, the Big Ten is not canceling. They're looking to postpone to the spring and play football in the spring. Now, of course, that comes with a whole nother level of, you know, consequences, including players opting out and players deciding to head to the NFL as juniors and seniors and all that comes with that. And there's also the idea of, are we going to be in a better place in the spring as far as the virus goes? Hopefully we are, but a lot of these same administrators were hopeful that in the spring we'd be good by now.
And some thought in the summertime we'd be good
and
be ready to go.
Apparently we're not. So those are the conversations. And look, I guarantee you there's nobody who wants college football to happen more than you and me.
The station?
You may want it as much as we do, but you don't want it more than we do.
You kidding? This is what we do.
So don't come to this show acting like we want it to not happen.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's the...
This is what we do for a living.
Yes. We want it to happen. Yes. We want 10 Longhorn games in this fall. It would be tremendous. But being realistic and watching how this is playing out, we're trying to be that for our audience and for you. That we're not going to come on here and say, you know, bash people for making decisions that are difficult. This is a tough call, and I don't pretend to have all the answers, but don't think we don't want football to happen.
I think that's sometimes the feeling sometimes we get, like, you guys just don't want football to happen. Really?
Really.
You mean I don't like my job?
I mean, I
don't like keeping this gig?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that goes with that on our end, too. But yes, we want football to happen, and I don't, but it doesn't look good right now. It does not. And for the reasons we're mentioning, that's not fear-mongering. That's just being realistic to the situation. Do I think there's going to be NFL football this year? Yes. Do I think they're going to play? Yes.
They're going to try.
But as we've said over and over, pro football is not college football. Student-athletes are not professionals. They're student-athletes. And that is what all these conversations center around. I mean, gosh, next Saturday I'm driving my daughter to college. We're going to take her to school. You know, we have all the concerns that go with that.
That's right.
Yes, we're taking our daughter off to school and she's going to be in a dorm. And
you don't think you have fears?
Sure.
Your wife has fears?
Right, exactly. And that's where we all are as a society. But it's not about pointing fingers and blame. It's about doing the best you can do, as you just said. And at the same time, you know, these presidents have a job to do, right? They have.
Yes, they do.
They have a university to run. And it's a major challenge right now at that level, and it's a major challenge in the NFL. I mean, for the NFL to pull this off,
they're going to have to trust in those dudes.
By the way, did you see the big news that came down from the NFL on Friday? Breaking news, Isaiah Collier.
Uh-oh.
Well, this is big because one of the things the NFL announced on Friday was that they are coming online with immediate testing ability, a test that is immediate. Like, you don't have to send it to the lab and wait 2 days to know if there's a positive. The NFL has contracted with a group that can do immediate on-the-spot testing.
That's right, right there, right?
Right there, which is huge, right? I mean, that's the key to the NFL being able to play, is you can't put sick players on a football field, even on the same team together. It's just it's going to be the first thing to start spread this thing and shut down the team and then the sport. So the immediate testing to be able to separate on top of all the other technology we've talked about, and that's a positive development. Hopefully that's something that, you know, that can be the example.
They can afford it.
Right.
They can afford it. That's one of the keys. They can afford it. By the way, it's in the 8 o'clock hour. We haven't found out where Jerry Jones is. I mean, he's been traveling on the weekend.
Haven't heard from him.
I mean, where is the Regina Maria and the Sancta Maria? Where is that located now? Still sitting in Seattle? Have they moved at all?
Oh. Marine tracker?
Yes.
I haven't checked on Jerry this morning yet.
Well, it's Monday, and he's been in port in Seattle, for a while.
Hey, I'll look up where Jerry is ported.
Yeah, we need to find out what that dude is up to.
Bravo Eugenia.
Thank you.
But let me ask you your thoughts on the golf from the weekend and young Colin Morikawa. And no, we did not win the Fantasy Golf Challenge, you and I. Our team, we finished 105th.
Let me just say
Let
me just say I knew a gentleman who was going to put 500 bones on Colin Morikawa, who was getting in touch with me. How do I do this? Who do I turn to? Although I'm not a gambler.
You were.
This year. But he asked me lots of questions and told me all about it. I told you this is an easy one. This kid knows the golf course. He played at Cal. He's played it numerous times. And the guy threw down a little cheese, but he had a gold star lock. It was right there. You know how I give folks the gold star lock every year during the football season?
Yep.
Some wonderful picks. He had it. He had it right there and didn't pull the trigger. You can't be scarred. You just can't. If there's your opportunity to pull that trigger, bada bing, bada bang.
Yeah.
You got to go, right?
Yeah. You got to have the balls.
He was 30-something to one.
Yeah. And it would have been a good pick. I was talking to some friends over the weekend and said, man, that would have been the one. Because
Morikawa,
it just made too much sense. He's been the most consistent player on tour this year. He's made 22, 23 straight cuts. He's always in the mix. He grew up playing on this golf course, or played it a lot when he was at Cal. Knows it. Familiar with it. And, boy, was he good. 65-64. Lowest. Think about this again, right? We talk about Luka Doncic and the rarefied air he's in as the youngest player ever to lead the NBA in triple-doubles in a season, which is unbelievable to think about what his ceiling can be. Now, this guy Morikawa is not a household name, but you probably should be thinking about it because he's breaking records from guys like Tiger Woods. And this scoring mark where he went 65-64, buck 129 over the weekend, lowest Saturday-Sunday total in major golf history. Like, no one in any major has ever posted a 129 Saturday-Sunday and won a championship. That's pretty incredible for a 23-year-old. But, yes, your buddy should have had the cojones
there you go.
To throw down
that's
the stretch.
That's what it was. By the way, on number 16, you got to go for that green in one.
Yeah, the drive will
bar 4. You've got to drive. Come on, hit the cutter. Why not hit the cutter in there?
You have to.
Everybody can hit the cutter. Especially like Dustin Johnson. He's the guy who hits the cutter.
Well, I'm going to say for myself, if I had been a gambler this weekend, I wouldn't have done well because I said, you got to put your money on Brooks Koepka. And that was even on Thursday. And then
what was up with him?
Even on going into Sunday with Dustin Johnson at a 2-stroke lead, I'm thinking, if you're not putting your money on Koepka, you're crazy.
Is Koepka now starting to be the ultimate red ass over the top now?
Yeah. His comment about Dustin Johnson, I thought, was, you know, there's a respect.
Even Rory said, what was that
about?
Yeah,
Rory called
him out
for. Well, because after the Saturday round, Brooks Koepka was asked about his chances, and he said, well, you know.
I got four.
I mean, he slighted DJ and said, well, he's only won one championship. I feel pretty good about my chances because he's going to choke, essentially, is what he's saying.
That's what he said, because I got four or three.
And then Rory jumped in and said, wait a second, this guy's won 21 PGA events on a major. This is no chump here. Quit acting like you're, I mean, and then to see him go out and fall apart.
Man.
By the way, speaking of hurting our chances at the Horn Fantasy Golf Challenge, Brooks Koepka did not help us.
Doggone Bruce.
Bruce. Because, as you say, it kind of felt like he gave in at the end. Like, he knew he couldn't win, and he just fell apart.
But it was early. It wasn't mm-hmm. like at the end. He about hole number 70, he looked like he had packed his bags.
Yeah, not good. But it was Morikawa. And I would have also laid money that when they made the turn and there were seven dudes at 10 under, I'm like, there's no way this doesn't get to a playoff. This is going to extra holes. I mean, there's too many guys. With only eight,
I thought Jason Day was going to win that thing, or he was going to be a part of it.
I thought we ended up in extra golf, and instead, Morikawa with the chip in, and then the eagle on 16, the two on the four was huge. Obviously, by the way, breaking news: Jerry Jones,
okay,
his Bravo Eugenia pleasure craft, mm-hmm. the super yacht, is still docked in the port of Seattle all weekend.
He's in Dallas,
so he has probably flown back.
Yeah.
That's complete rampant speculation.
He's back.
But his super yacht has...
He's back in Metroplex, y'all.
Are you reporting that?
I'm reporting he's back in the...
Well, the Cowboys are at training camp. We're 30 days to the start of the NFL season, and we're wondering about the college football season, so we'll continue to take your debate on that. Coming up, we'll shine the spotlight once again on our Horn Top 20, number 20 in the countdown to number 1. It's out of the Big 12. We'll get the spotlight next. Phil Steele will weigh in on our number 20 team in college football. Coming back, B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Glad you're with us on a Monday. It's B&E, recapping a busy weekend, the good, the bad, and the ugly. A lot of sports out there, and now a concern for college football. That's become the number one story today.
Yeah, but I had some good, though.
What
was
your good
over the weekend?
Give me your
good. You know me, I'm a big Western. I watch a lot of Westerns on Channel 5.
Porno Western?
No,
we found out about that last week.
538 is the channel. I had no problems with my memory when I was hitting the button all weekend. But as I hit the button, there's a movie that was in that top 100 Westerns that I had never seen the whole thing all the way through. And that was John Wayne's True Grit.
Ooh.
And Glenn Campbell's in that movie. I don't know if you've ever seen... Yeah.
I haven't seen the original.
Well, there was the obnoxious little young lady that was in it that had to find the killer of her father and all that stuff. But, you know, that was okay. I battled through that. But I had a real problem at the end of that. Did somebody shoot Glenn Campbell at the end? Or did the guy who hit him on the head with a rock, he was riding by and he hit him on the head and he fell off of his horse, but he found a way to the hole and help pull John Wayne and the obnoxious young lady out of the hole with the horse.
I didn't see the movie.
How did he...
Show the people, audience, will have to help you.
Did he die from being hit in the head with the rock, but got on the horse and pulled him out and then lay on the ground dead? Is that how Glenn Campbell went out in True Grit? Or was he shot somewhere that I missed? Because that's that age thing that comes creeping up on you. You're wondering at 65... Did the dude get shot, and I don't remember him getting shot, or did just a rock on his head kill him? Because I'm not thinking that the rock hit him in... No, that's not the way Glenn Campbell should go out, right?
I haven't seen it.
By the way, Robert Duvall is one of the all-time great Cowboys actor.
Oh, he's one of the all-time great actors.
I mean, he's in
True Grit. Robert Duvall, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Good Godfather?
Yeah, I mean,
one and two.
Yeah, but as a cowboy, he's fantastic. He really is.
When he was Cole Trickle's pit boss, what was the NASCAR movie with Tom Cruise? That was Robert
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder.
Yeah,
that was Robert Duvall.
When he says this mighty bold talk for a one-eyed fat man, what he tell John Wayne?
That's right,
mighty bold talk. So I would like to know.
Of course, he's the greatest as Augustus McCrae.
Yes.
Lonesome Dove. It's one of the great characters ever on film.
Did the great Glenn Campbell go out that way? With just
someone will tell
rock
us.
On the head?
I haven't seen the movie, so I'll have to abstain from that conversation.
Weird.
What I will not abstain from, though, is the current college football conversation and the latest, but also the Horn Top 20. Until we're told otherwise, we are counting down the top 20 teams in college football because it's what we do.
Can I get a countdown?
It's the Horns College Football Top 20, presented by Allstat Beer. Number 20, the Iowa State Cyclones.
Purdy, back to the air, floats one, wide open. Touchdown, ISU, Charlie Kohler.
All right, Iowa State, three straight eight-win seasons for Matt Campbell. Can I tell you something? If I asked you this question, Buck, about how good a job Matt Campbell is doing at Ames, Iowa. From 1979 to 2016, you're not a math major, that's 37 years. How many eight-win or more seasons did Iowa State football have?
Three.
One.
Ugh.
Over nearly 40 years, they had one eight-win season or more. Matt Campbell has now done it three consecutive years in Ames. And this might be his best team. He thinks it's his best team. He's got a junior quarterback in Brock Purdy. He's got a sophomore running back in Breece Hall. Might have the best tight end in the Big 12 Conference in Kolar. They got to rebuild the offensive line with four new starters, but he feels good about the recruiting that they've done there and building that within the program in year five for Matt Campbell. And John Heacock, their defensive coordinator, is as good as it gets in the Big 12, an innovator in this mostly offensive conference. That's a huge number, and so he's got this team trending. The question is, can they take the next step and not be an eight-win team? But obviously, we're only going to play 10 games, so eight wins would be great for anybody this year, because that means you're 8-2 in this 2020 schedule. But can they take a step forward and be a contender for the Big 12 championship, Buck?
They're a fourth-place team, I still believe. I still believe it's going to still be the same for them. And when you get to nine wins there, that's a really, really good year. But I think this looks like another year where – you know, Oklahoma's there, Texas is there, Oklahoma State. The killer is Oklahoma State is real good this year. So, they may have had an opportunity to be three, but most likely they're not. They're a fourth-place team with another eight-win season, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, they're not – well, with only 10 games, I don't know that they get to eight. Because if they could six –
oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
In a normal 12-game schedule, and you get to 8, and you're 8-4, that's pretty good, and it's been great for Matt Campbell. But, you know, to get to 8 wins this year would be 8-2, which would put you maybe in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, and I don't see, over the last 2 years of watching Brock Purdy play, If I'm the NFL scout, there's nothing about him except for some leadership things, not great arm, not over-talented, that makes me think this is a first-round draft pick at quarterback. But then again, if he plays for 4 years, you know what I'm saying? They're looking on what the kid's going to be like in the future. He's only going into his junior year. Right. From what I've seen the first 2 years, he's improving, but he doesn't improve enough right now, E, for me to be a first-round draft pick. Because that would tell me this, that kid can take over a game himself and win games. I don't believe he's there yet.
I agree with you on that. I think his leadership and his intangibles are high. His grasp of the game and you know, understanding, he's more athletic than you think, but he's just over 6 foot. He's only 210
pounds. He's not like
Russell
Wilson. He's not taking over a game.
No, he's not as toolsy as the NFL would like him to be.
Correct.
As far as size and arm strength and all those things. Let's hear from Phil Steele. Phil Steele's college football preview. His thoughts. He, by the way, he has Oklahoma State ranked fourth in the Big 12, but 33rd overall in his ranking of the top 40 teams, but does like Matt Campbell and the Cyclones. Problem is for Phil is the schedule.
Matt Campbell at Iowa State doing a tremendous job building that team. I'd probably have Iowa State higher in my picks for the Big 12 this year. Did they not have maybe the toughest schedule of the top teams? They have to play at Oklahoma State, at TCU, at Texas, and home against Oklahoma. So there's a potential of them being an underdog in all four. But this is probably Matt Campbell's best team yet, led by quarterback Brock Purdy. And then running back Breece Hall, who really emerged in the second half of last year. Defensively, they're always among the tops in the conference. All three units rank in my top units. So I think those five teams right there are the ones that have a shot at winning the Big 12.
There you go. There's Iowa State. And the question becomes, I mean, if they're going to be, and if we play a season, can they go to Stillwater and come to Austin and get one of those wins, right? Because if they get, think about, I don't think anybody thinks they're going to win both of those games.
Well, I know
in
this.
In Stillwater, in Austin.
They shouldn't be able to come to Austin and beat you two times. They one at home and then one on the road and then one at home. That shouldn't happen. And I don't think they can go to Stillwater and win that game either. There's two right there.
Well, that's two losses. And then, you know, that probably takes you out of the mix for Big 12 because those teams that beat you would probably be ahead of you at that point. And there's the Oklahoma Sooners, who they will host, at least as the schedule stands now, on homecoming
right in
the middle of October. So there we go.
It's a good team, but it's a fourth-place team, I still believe. I still believe they'd be number four.
Hey, can we get to some breaking news on the college football season front? Saw this morning, and, you know, the reports are flying pretty quick. I mentioned last night I was at dinner, and we had a bunch of text messages from people that are, this thing's trending in a bad direction, because everyone got wind of the emergency meeting between the Power Five. But Dan Patrick of the Dan Patrick Show, the national radio show, he tweeted just a few minutes ago, says, was told an hour ago that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 will cancel their football seasons tomorrow. The ACC and the Big 12 are on the fence, and the SEC is trying to get teams to join them for a season.
Only the SEC. They want to keep this thing going.
And according to the same source, Dan Patrick says 12 of the 14 presidents from the Big Ten have voted against having a college football season. Iowa and Nebraska were the two that have been pushing to play. So 12 of 14, that's a lot. The Mid-America Conference already canceled, and that was a unanimous vote of the school presidents. 12 of 14 Big 12 schools. And look, this would fall right in line with how the schedules came down, right? Big 12, or the Big 10 announced way back in July that they're going to conference only, which surprised a lot of people that it came so quickly that they made that decision. Pac-12 followed suit soon after. And it sounds like, according to Dan Patrick's source, that the same thing could happen on the cancellation of the season. And that's where it would get, right? I mean, the dominoes would begin to fall. Big Ten would be out. Pac-12 would be out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 of what they want to do. Could they move forward and play?
Yeah, they could.
They could.
They could.
They certainly could. They would have to explain why the other school presidents are wrong and they're right. I mean, I think there would have to be some.
Well, that we'll see when time comes, yeah. As the season goes on, if they try to do it.
Yeah. I mean, there would be valid questions of, well, why are there medical experts in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 wrong, and why are yours right, and why is this safe, not unsafe? And I'm not saying they wouldn't have answers, but they would have to answer those questions. I mean, they're the school presidents.
But in order to play, they're going to have to answer them anyway.
Yes.
Period. By the way, is there any doubt who'll be the last to make a decision?
I don't know. The Big 12, by the way, its board of directors scheduled to meet tomorrow. That's already on the agenda. There's meetings today. We'll see. Big 10 could announce, but Dan Patrick saying it's going to be tomorrow that the Big 10 and the Pac-12 you know, make the decision together that they're out, and then we'll see where this goes. But we'll follow that story. Not good news. By the way, we've got an update on your True Grit.
Okay.
It says, agreed, Buck. Duvall's a fabulous Cowboy. And it says, it pains me to say because I love Jonathan John Wayne. True Grit remake is much better than the original. And yes, Campbell died from the rock.
Jeez.
Died from the rock.
You got to be stronger than that. It's just a rock. He got hit pretty hard, though. He got hit from the side, banged his forehead, lots of blood. How the hell did he get up on the horse and save them and then fall off the horse and die?
You know what I decided for the good of the weekend? You know what I decided? Like, I have to rank Jeff Bridges as one of my favorite actors of all time. Because, you know what I watched? My kids and I watched Seabiscuit on Saturday night.
Okay.
Which is, you know, my favorite sports movie.
Of course,
it
made you cry. Did you cry again?
I did cry.
Again?
Yeah, man, I welled up.
How do you do that?
Come on, man. Because it's exhilarating when they win the match race, but then he breaks his leg.
You had to get up and leave the kids? You had to get up and leave them, right?
I just weep right in front of him. It doesn't matter.
What?
No, but so Jeff Bridges is great in that, you know, is the lead. But then he was the lead in the remake of True Grit. He was in one of my favorite, Hell or High Water, which is a phenomenal movie.
I like that movie a lot.
And if you start going through Jeff Bridges, it's like among my favorite movies. Like, I'm like, I love this guy.
Okay, so you've watched Hell or High Water how many times now?
Oh, a lot. Quite a few.
Okay, and you've watched Seabiscuit more.
I hadn't watched Seabiscuit in a long time, but it was on HBO the other day, so I recorded it. And so
have
we
you seen
it
more than five times?
Oh, yeah.
Every time you cried?
I don't, you know, you're not like
weeping. I know what you mean.
You get your eyes well up, and you get emotional.
But you don't, do you get
up? I love that damn horse. And I love Tom White, Tom the trainer.
I love that horse. Oh, boy.
Tom the trainer.
True story, though.
Hey, sometimes you just got to, we all get knocked down. Sometimes you just got to get somebody give you a chance.
Oh, Yeller never had a chance.
Well, he wasn't a racehorse either.
Yeah, but I never saw Yeller either. I've
Big
never
Lebowski.
Seen
Yeller.
That's right, Big Lebowski.
Check out Bridges and Tucker. That's right. He's a good actor, man.
Oh, God. Look, there's CB sending the guy crying. The crying Michael Jordan meme will come
me.
Up here.
That's me, crying E. Hogan.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I don't mind crying in a movie. And you know what? I don't think he's one of the best actors, but I also have to put Kevin Costner in that conversation because Kevin Costner's
stop.
Made...
You no, can
listen,
stop,
though.
Now.
Listen, though.
The Postman.
Like, he's made a bunch of my favorite all-time movies, like Bull Durham and Field of Dreams and...
The Postman.
I didn't like The Postman. Dances with Wolves.
That's a great film. Another great film.
I mean, Kevin Costner's like all these movies that I love. He's
what about him and Whitney and Bodyguard where he fell in love with her for real, in real life?
The Untouchables.
You know what? If Kevin Costner would have stayed around and messed around with her, guess what? Bobby Brown wouldn't have killed her.
Now he's in Yellowstone,
think about that.
Which is my favorite show going on right now. So I'm taking in some Kevin Costner.
Think about Kevin Costner.
Again, I'm not arguing he's one of the great actors, but he's made a lot of my favorite movies.
If Kevin Costner would have kept on falling in love with Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown would have never got rid of her. Right?
Well, you know, the late Whitney liked girls and women anyway. Yeah. She could never be her true self.
Kevin Costner, she may have.
We will.
Bobby Brown had her all juiced up.
Hey, let's load up a Monday Blitz and bring it strong. It's only as good as you make it, so make it good. We had five blitzes in a row last week with Tavo on it, which was a return of Tavo. See if he's still around.
He's not around. Back
or
incarcerated.
Back in the joint. We'll also hit your salacious gossip, get you the latest on this college football conversation, which is breaking by the minute. It's B&E with you on a Monday.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just the gossip. It's brought to you by Bud Light. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. Whatever you were doing to enjoy your couple days away. Laying up watching some golf, some hoops, some baseball. How about the Rangers pulling off a sweep? Astros got swept, and then they had a little brawl yesterday. Did you see the Astros-A's brawl brought to you by Bud Light? Only four great ingredients and brewed right here deep in the heart, Buck.
Yeah, somebody's going to be out for a couple games.
I mean, the A's.
How is it that the A's got hit five times and the A's didn't hit the Astros at all with the ball?
Astros are... I will say that the pitches that hit Ramon Liriano yesterday were curveballs. I mean, in the Astros are running 9 or 10 rookies out there that aren't the most struggling, I guess, is the way I would put
it. Mike Fiers on their team?
Oh, yeah. Well, Mike Fiers pitched the game before the Astros got there, and Fiers was the snitch, as they would call him in Houston, but he was the whistleblower.
Snitches get stitches.
But so Ramon Liriano got hit for the second time in that game, got to first base, and he chirped all the way down, which is, you got hit twice, you're going to bark at the pitcher. And the Astros catcher got between Martin Maldonado, got between he and the pitcher, so that didn't escalate. But then from the Astros dugout in Oakland Coliseum, there was the hitting coach, Alex Cintron, instigating the fight. Like, he was hollering and saying, come on. Now, again, there's no crowd. Like, on TV, you hear a crowd, but there's no crowd in the stadium, so you can hear everything, right? And everything that anybody says from the dugout, you hear clearly. So, of course, Liriano takes off over there, and they end up in a little bit of a dog pile. And there will be heavy penalties for that, because baseball has... This is the second time the Astros have had a benches-clearing situation, which probably shouldn't be surprising.
No. Shouldn't surprise anybody.
Shouldn't be surprising, based on the situation at hand.
By the way, when you people talk about Kevin Costner in Waterworld, that's one of my favorite Kevin Costner movies, so back away from the table on that. Dude could swim underwater. He had fins on his feet. You know what I mean? It flippers.
I didn't say every movie Kevin Costner's made is a good movie. And he's made some clunkers. You make enough movies, you're going to make some bad ones.
For sure.
But he's also made a bunch of my favorites.
But Waterworld's not one for folks out there.
I don't even think I've ever seen Waterworld.
You would come back.
Or The Postman.
Waterworld is great. The Postman is awful.
Awful?
Awful. Just awful.
Awful.
Yeah.
All right. You know what today is? Today is National Lazy Day. So on this Monday, you have permission to be lazy.
No time.
What do you mean?
Got no time to be lazy. Things to do.
Take a nap? On the National Monday Lazy Day?
I'm thinking of a little nap time today. That was a quick night. That doggone golf was up late last night watching the daggone golf.
Well, I am now leading the charge here. I'm probably not the only one who likes golf, but I think moving forward, we should mandate or encourage either the U.S. Open or the PGA Championship to be played on the West Coast. One of the two, which gives you a West Coast tournament every year. Masters is never changing, and it shouldn't. Open Championships in the morning over in the U.K., so you get that done by lunchtime.
The leaders went off at like 5 o'clock.
In the morning.
Or like yesterday.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't settled until like 9:30 or 9 o'clock. It was great. Morikawa was lifting the Wanamaker trophy about bedtime.
No, believe me, I know that.
which was pretty cool. So I'm all in on that. I'm all in for National Lazy Day, and West Coast golf is big for me. All right, are we ready to release the hounds here?
Release them on a Monday.
All right, let's open it up to you. It's only as good as you make it, so make it good. Let's get to the Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Here we go. First Blitz, are you up?
Mira, we all want sports to come back, Toro. Esqueleto. Pero mira, you gotta protect your immune system con la moringa, and always have the Vicks with you. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And the Best Western is Yellowstone.
Yeah, oh, baby. Thank you, Topo.
The Dutton Topo. Ranch, baby. Bring it.
I got to start on it. I know I do. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Mule Slayer, did you cry when you watched the movie with Clint Eastwood with two mules with Sister Sarah?
Am I the mule slayer? I've never slayed a mule.
Mule
never
Slayer.
Happened.
What hell is that? Next Blitzer, you're up.
Guys, if Nick Faldo ever says that Dottie Pepper, Lottie Dottie, we like the party, that'd be the greatest sports moment of my entire life.
Lottie Dottie, we like the party. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Stating the facts is not fear-mongering.
Well, apparently it is in 2020.
That it is. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Yeah, hey, Bart.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
Oh.
Roll Tide.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. I want it to be, but maybe not.
Can you imagine if everyone cancels, but the SEC says, nope, we're playing?
You know what? They want to. I'm not going to put it past them to try this. Would you be surprised? I mean,
it would shock me if they were the only conference. Because, again, it goes back to the liability situation. If everyone else is not playing and citing health and safety, and the doctors and the lawyers have said not smart, they'd have to explain how they're doing that they're doing it. And I guess the question would be this for these school presidents, Buck. Will you stake your career that you're right?
As what? A college president?
Yeah.
No.
Because if you're wrong, it's your career.
Yeah, that would be it. You'd never be a college president again, for sure.
We'll pick that up on the other side. The highly controversial conversation of the college football morning. Also some fun with Jeff Bridges and Robert Duvall and who else were we? Oh,
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, my man Costner. Oh, and you see this, Buck? Simon Cowell. We got to get you the Simon Cowell update. Should have been gossip, but I forgot. But I got it now. We'll have that on the other side. We got a lot to do. Speaking of on a Monday.